Envy is a sin. So if you don't have a big voice, you probably need to quit being envious of Tad. Tad, excellent job. I appreciate the seriousness that his approach is to anything he does, but he texts me early in the week. A lot of times I have the long scripture for somebody on Saturday evening, but he texts me early because he wanted to be prepared, and I appreciate that. My voice is not as big as Tad's, but I've never been accused of being quiet. In fact, when I was teaching over at Mobile Christian School, one room down from me, they taught math. And on a couple of occasions, Ms. Harbin, who was teaching at that time, Ms. Donaldson, as many of us would know her, came to me and said, "Hey, Terry, I enjoyed your Bible class today." Meaning she heard how my big loud mouth was. You know, there is a time to be loud, I think. There is a time to speak up. Jesus certainly understood that, right? We can look in Jesus' teaching. Virgil read to us from the Sermon on the Mount. What a great time that Jesus spoke up and He taught and He brought in the new covenant He was telling them about. There were times when the money changers were gambling and doing bad things in the temple of His Father. So Jesus turned tables over and ran them out of there. There's certainly a time to speak up. There certainly is a time to be loud. There certainly is a time to stand at the rooftop and shout it. But there's also a time to be silent. What we've done this month is gone through the life of Christ, taking songs that we may sing around this time of the year and making them the title of what I wanted to talk about. A couple weeks ago, we started with "Do You Hear What I Hear?" talking about God's hearing the cry of His people and the need of a Savior. Then we talked about joy to the world, that God not only heard, but He did. He brought Christ into this world, and for Christ to come and die and be resurrected, He had to be born. And so we talked about that joy that came to the world. Well, as Jesus grows, we know the next thing we see about Jesus is He is 12 years old, and He knows the Scriptures. He knows what He's doing, and He amazes the scribes. From there, we see Jesus at 30 years old being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan to fulfill all righteousness. And it's on that occasion that His Father speaks up all the way from heaven and says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." From there, we see Jesus' ministry began, His public ministry. And He jam-packed everything we have in the Gospels in 3 years. And then Jesus is betrayed with a kiss by Judas. Jesus is accused falsely in made-up crimes. Jesus goes from mock trial to mock trial to mock trial. And as He is before Caiaphas there, the high priest, He is asked, "Who are you?" But you know what Jesus does? He remained silent. The well-known Christmas carol, "Silent Night," originated in a small Austrian village in Germany in 1818. The lyrics were written by Joseph Mohr, who was a young priest at the time. He wrote those lyrics in 1816 as a reflection on the peace and hope brought by the birth of Jesus. 2 years later, Moore asked Franz Xaver Gruber, a local school teacher and organist, compose a medley for the poem that he had written on Christmas Eve, 1818. Silent Night was performed for the first time at St. Nicholas Church with Moore singing and Gruber providing the music. The carol quickly spread throughout Austria and beyond thanks to traveling folk singers, and it eventually became a worldwide classic, translated into over 300 languages and dialects. Its message of peace and simplicity has resonated across generations, making it one of the most cherished Christmas hymns of all time. Silence can certainly be powerful. Silence can portray dignity, strength, and purpose. In Matthew 26:63 that Tad read to us a moment ago, Jesus stands in stark contrast to the chaos that's around him. And let's talk about that chaos. We're going to read it again in a minute. But the chaos is he has had one of those that he has loved and cherished and handpicked and been with day in and day out for 3 straight years. One that he dipped his bread and observed Passover with. One that he ate with, that he communed with, that he fellowshiped with, that he taught, Judas Iscariot, has walked up to Jesus with an evil plan. For 30 pieces of silver, I'll kiss the one that you need to arrest. Thus began the chaos. But Jesus wasn't caught unaware. He said, Judas, do it quickly. And he did. And they came to arrest him. If you've ever been around that kind of scene, it's chaotic. Adding to the chaos, Peter. Old Peter. Peter certainly didn't know about being silent. He spoke up. Peter didn't say a word here. He just drew his sword and swung to cut off one of the heads of the ones that was arresting his best friend. Of course, Jesus speaks up and he rebukes him. He says, hey, this has to happen. This is what I've been telling you about. It has to happen. And then they drag him to Caiaphas. And there he's before the high priest, the most religious, quote unquote, the most religious man that should be there and around the area. And Caiaphas asks him the question. Let's pick up in verse 57 of Matthew 26. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes, it's not just Caiaphas there, right? The scribes and the elders had gathered. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now Peter is being silent, probably when he should speak up. Now the chief priest, 59, and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. You know, if you want to accuse somebody, you want to get somebody riled up, you want to take somebody out, make up a bunch of lies. Boy, we see that played out every day, don't we? We see mobs that want people because it doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their money. It doesn't fit their plans for their own selfish desires. We see lies after lies after lies until people start believing them. You tell a lie long enough, people will start believing it. They get a bunch of false witnesses. They get all these people together. And out of all of them, 2 come forward and said, this man, who's the Savior of the world, by the way, said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" Do not miss verse 63. "But Jesus remained silent." I don't know. I don't know if I could have. Now, you got to remember, they also are slapping him and doing ugly things to him. Remember, he didn't fit their agenda. Oh, there was joy to the world, right, to Mary, to those wise men, but to Herod, that was not joy. He was a joy stealer. We talked about that. Oh, there were a lot of folks that came to Jesus and he helped and he healed and he took care of and he fed. In fact, he fed 5,000 on one occasion and they were following him. This man is great. He feeds us. Our bellies are full. But then he started talking about some things that they interpreted as hard sayings and they turned away and never followed him again. It didn't fit their agenda. Well, the most religious people of the day were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the elders, the scribes, the high priest. Jesus Christ didn't fit their agenda. He wasn't joy to the world for them. Oh, yes, they cried out for years and years and years, "Bring us the Messiah, bring us the Messiah." But the Messiah didn't look like what they had pictured. The Messiah didn't live like they pictured. The Messiah didn't restore Israel like they had pictured. The Messiah didn't sit on a throne rich like other kings and reign over them like they pictured. So they said, "Let's kill him." All that is happening right now in front of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Remember, he had told Peter, "Don't defend me. I could call 12 legions of angels right now." But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." The first thing I want to talk about today is the context of the silence that Jesus had. Again, there were false accusations and mock trials. All this going around about him. He's dragged before the Sanhedrin. And there's a sham trial that's going on, a mock trial, a made-up trial with made-up witnesses who are telling made-up statements. Now, when Jesus said, "I'll destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days," you know what temple he was talking about. He was talking about his temple. He was talking about the temple of his body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened. It was torn down and rebuilt as he came out of the grave. These false witnesses are distorting his words. That's what we looked at in verse 60 and 61. And they're creating a chaotic and unjust situation. Have you ever been around chaos? It's uncomfortable. When somebody's out of control and things are going on, you know, or maybe there's just a lot of noise and a lot of things, you know, you walk into that, it's overwhelming. I love children, don't get me wrong, but you walk into a small setting and there's a bunch of children running wild and crazy, it's a little overwhelming because it's chaos. You know what Silent Night, the song is about? It's about peace. What's the opposite of chaos? Peace. The chaos was all around him, but peace was silent. It speaks volumes, and we're going to unfold that, but just understand the context. Despite all this, Jesus never defends himself or responds in anger or really with anything. You know why he did this? First of all, to fulfill prophecy, right? Bo read to us from Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. Let's read verse 7 again. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, he was silent before his shearers." Jesus' silence shows his complete submission to God's will. And it fulfilled that messianic prophecy, that beautiful prophecy of Isaiah 53, the same prophecy that led the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus Christ. This prophecy that we read sometimes as the ninth man or those residing over the Lord's Supper. This prophecy that is so beautiful and we've heard it and all, it's being fulfilled right there before them. The prophecy that they knew backwards and forwards, by the way. It's being fulfilled right there before Him because despite the chaos, despite the noise, despite the war that's going on, Jesus remained silent. You see, Jesus is, in this moment teaches us that sometimes silence is more powerful than words. See, this is a power moment to me. What a powerful moment in time. Chaos, war, hatred, and it's all about Him. But He remained silent. You see, you live long enough, you're going to be falsely accused. You remain in the church long enough, you're going to be mistreated. We can choose at that moment to trust in God's justice or be loud and obnoxious about it. Now let's talk about the purpose of a silence. We already talked about that it was fulfilling God's will, right? It was fulfilling God's plan. Jesus knew that the moment that He was in, this is how in control He was. He knew that the moment that He was in was part of God's redemptive plan and the scheme of redemption that He had been about planning all those years ago. Speaking out or defending Himself right there, it would have changed the plan. It would have made Isaiah 53 not true. So He understood, for me to speak up will change it all, so I must remain silent. In fact, 1 Peter 2:23, when He was abused, He did not return abuse. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but He entrusted Himself to the One who judges justly. Now let's pause for a moment. Sometimes, and let me just say, I've never, ever been a woman. Nor will I ever be a woman. So I can't speak from a woman's perspective, but I can speak from a man's. Sometimes as men, we think we got to get the last word. We got to get the first word, the middle word, the last word. Sometimes as men, we feel like, I'm just going to use a term that I'm familiar with, hope you are, sissies. We feel like sissies if I don't speak up. Was Jesus anything about Him sissified? No. In fact, He told Peter as He was healing the man who came to arrest Him, I could call 12 legions of angels. Do you know what the angel who, by the way, was Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord did to that Assyrian army? You remember that in Hezekiah's day? He killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. What would 12 legions of angels do? Do not think for one moment Jesus is weak. Do not think that silence is weak. There is a time to speak up. But do not think that not returning words, not returning threats, not returning gossip, that does not make a person strong. It's the silence that's the strength. Jesus' purpose of His silence was, first of all, to fulfill God's plan. But He also did it to demonstrate self-control. Verse 53, we've already talked about several times now, He had the power to call those angels. But He restrained Himself, choosing silence over retaliation. I can't tell you the times I've wanted to retaliate on the highway. man, when somebody does something really dumb, maybe the way they're driving or maybe the way they're just being a jerk, and you maybe even just, you know, tap your horn or something at them, and you catch up with them or they catch up with you, and the first thing they do is give you a middle finger salute. One time I was at a stop sign. It's a four-way stop, and it's right by my house. And I know I was clearly stopped. A car coming through the intersection just flies through. And I laid on the horn. I got my babies in there, you know? I got my wife in there. And as he was going by and I was blowing the horn, he was giving me that salute. I wanted to chase him down, drag him out by the nape of his neck, and let him know that I was the man that day, not him. But then I remembered, I've got my kids and my wife, and I'm wearing Jesus Christ. It's hard. Folks, it's hard. Listen, I'm a man, and listen, women, I'm not saying you're not that way. I'm just saying I can only speak from this perspective. I am a man, and there are times I really want to retaliate. I really want to say it. And by the way, I have also failed many a times. But sometimes the strength is in the not retaliating. Jesus restrained himself. He chose silence over retaliation. Now his silence on this moment, in this moment, showed divine self-control, and it focused on what was the greater mission. But thirdly, Jesus' purpose behind this, according to my thoughts, was to expose injustice. You see, Jesus' silence magnified the corruption and the injustice of his accusers. His silence forced them to confront their hypocrisy. That's what they were. May we never be pharisaical, church. The Pharisees looked the part. They wore the robes, especially those who were of authority. They wore the robes. They had the clothes. They walked with their chest high. You want to know what the law says? Listen to this. Bam, 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 bam. And they could just spew it off. But inside, Jesus said, they were full of dead man's bones. You see, do not let us as the church be the injustice. Let's be the bridge. We've got to expose hypocrisy, not be hypocrisy. Jesus, by remaining silent, exposed the emptiness of their charges. Again, there are going to be times when we must practice silence in the face of injustice. There are going to be, and listen, if you have been a Christian for some time, you know, not everybody's going to be nice, even in the church. There are going to be times that people say things against you and about you, and there are going to be things, and listen, social media makes it so easy. And FYI, if somebody gets on, first of all, this is, let me just step aside, okay? First of all, and I say this with all love in my heart. I appreciate Brother Mike. He said, Terry will preach the truth even if it hurts us sometimes. If the McDonald's worker gives you a bad order, I don't need to know about it. Okay? Nor does the world. So why do we put that on there? Oh, well, I want to bring attention to McDonald's. Well, maybe she was having a bad day. Listen, I have a bad day. And I get it. Listen, I've told... There was a lady in a gas station that was a clerk there one day. She was just being ugly to me, and I simply said, ma'am, you chose this job. And she didn't like that too much. But you know what? I didn't go on Facebook and tell you don't go get gas at this certain place because of this lady. Oh, and by the way, everything on Facebook is one-sided. So it's real easy to get on there and attack somebody and not know the whole truth, right? You know the saying, there's this side, and then there's the truth. Let's be wise. Let's don't buy into the personal attacks and the false statements or the half-truths or the one-sided stories. Sometimes let's just be silent. Finally, I want to talk about the power of Jesus' silence. You see, a silent Savior speaks volumes. Jesus' silence communicated humility. It communicated patience. It communicated an unwavering obedience. That's what Jesus' silence did. You see, it's a reminder to all of us that true power is not in loudness. Listen, I can be loud, but loud doesn't always mean we're right. True power is not in loudness, but it's in control, self-control and trust in God. Jesus taught us that silence is the same, or it's a form of submission. By remaining silent, Jesus submitted fully to the Father's will, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2, verse 8. Jesus' silence paved the way for the greatest act of love and redemption that will ever be told. Silent Night, the song. It's about peace coming to the world. Jesus, in the moment He was silent, there was chaos in the world. There was chaos in His world. But He chose to submit and remain silent. Finally, under this point of power, the power of His silence led to victory. Again, Jesus was not weak. And this was not a moment of weakness. But this was a necessary step toward the ultimate victory over sin and death. Again, let the whole story be told, right? God had to hear the need. He heard the need of a Savior. A Savior was born. A Savior lived. A Savior had to die. But then a Savior had to be resurrected. The whole story of Jesus, this silence in this moment fulfilled the prophecy. It submitted to the will and it led ultimately to victory. The silence in the courtroom that day, the silence in the courtroom that day gave way to the triumphant cry that is found in John 19:30, "It is finished." Silence is not always passive. It can be a deliberate act of faith. As Christians, we are called to be like Jesus, to emulate Jesus. And that means sometimes we have to use silence wisely. So as we conclude, let's look at our life. What does this teach us? Some things we've already talked about. But just to reemphasize that we've got to choose silence over retaliation. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I am not a fan of confrontation. I really am not. I've had to do confrontation. Whether I was a school teacher or as a minister, as an elder, sometimes you have to face confrontation. When somebody comes before you and they are mad or they are turned up heat-wise, you just start yelling at them. And you're going to pour gasoline on the fire. Oftentimes, my brother Mike and I have been together and we've been in moments and, you know, the best way, he's talked about it in class and he's taught me this over the years, open it up with a prayer. That really starts to diffuse the fire. But the proverb writer reminded us, if you want this moment, this confrontation to stir up anger, then you just start speaking harshly. But if you want it to end well, either remain silent or speak softly. We also learn that silence is a spiritual discipline. It's not something we gain just because we're baptized into Christ, right? It takes learning. It takes effort. It takes working. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We've talked about this so much, and we live busy lives. Every single person in here, whether you're retired or not, you live a much busier life than they did in the 1930s, okay? In fact, studies show that if you took the stress level that Americans are at compared to 1930, every one of us would be clinically at a level of stress. That's how busy life is. Silence helps us draw closer to God and hear His voice. You remember the old commercial, I remember it as a kid. I don't even know what Calgon was. But I remember the commercial, Calgon, take me away. You know why she did that or the person did that? Because she was probably a mama who had kids running up the wall, probably had a husband who wasn't always in order, and her life was probably flipped upside down. She's just saying, take me away. You know, we need that Calgon moment spiritually. We've got to have that moment when we get away from the chaos, we get away from the noise, we get away from the clutter of the world, and we are still and silent and know that He is God. Then finally, it reminds us, silence allows us to trust God's justice. Romans 12 is a very hard chapter sometimes to read. It's a very challenging chapter. He starts off there. Paul talks about that we are to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. We got to renew our minds, right? That's that be still and know. But then it gets down there, and I had a Bible one time. I've only had a couple of Bibles over the years, but one of them, it had that heading that Virgil was talking about earlier, and it said, characteristics of the ideal Christian. One of those characteristics is when people are attacking you, love them through it. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. By doing good things to people who are attacking you, it heaps coals of fire on their head. We do not need to defend ourselves against every accusation. Trust that God will vindicate His people. Jesus' silence in Matthew 26:63 was not weakness. In fact, it was strength. It demonstrated His trust in God, His commitment to His mission, and His love for humanity. We face trials. Maybe they're false accusations. Maybe they're people attacking us. It's conflict. It's chaos. It's war. We need to remember Jesus. The bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would He do in this moment? What would He do in this time of chaos? instead of stirring up gossip, instead of stirring up false things or one-sided things, instead of stirring up accusations, why don't we stir up love, trust, humility, self-control? We know that silence, when used with faith, is such a powerful testimony to the world. So today, in this life of chaos, you need silence, and so do I. Silence today is Jesus Christ. Silence today is Jesus by obeying His commands of His Father. He brought peace to the world, peace that passes all understanding. Today, do you want to escape from the noise, from the chaos, from the world, from sin? Obey Jesus Christ. Today, if you have lived a life and you've slipped away, you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you drifted away, you drifted into a world of chaos, a world of sin, maybe it's even public in a way, and today is the day to come home. You see, because Jesus remained silent and He surrendered, it allows us to obey Him and surrender today. If you need to become a child of the King or you need to come home, let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.